Let's give glory and honor to the Son this morning. Praise the Lord. Great to be with you. Please be seated. Hey, would you just breathe a prayer of praise to the Lord this morning and welcome Him into your life and into your heart, and just ask Him to speak to you this morning as we begin. It is great to be with you this morning, and if I haven't met you before, my name is John, and I'm the only bald pastor here on staff, so it's easy to figure out who I am. In fact, all the other staff that we have more hair than I do, so it's simple. But we do know that God can only make so many perfect heads, and the rest He put hair on, so that's how it goes. Plus, you know, I save all kinds of money on haircuts. I was talking to some of the staff this week, and they were telling me how much they spend on haircuts. I was shocked. I haven't had a haircut in a long time, but I was thinking to myself, you know, I always tip my barber well and buy him coffee. That's me, by the way, so it works out easy. But, you know, that's nothing to do with anything today, so you just have a bald pastor. That's all that it means. But this summer, I want to let you know that we're preparing after our kind of middle of the summer series to begin a message series to the New Testament book of James, and I can't tell you, I'm really looking forward to it. We're calling it Life Works, and James, as far as a book of the Bible goes, is just full of powerful, practical life wisdom as we follow Jesus. And so that'll be coming up. And here in the middle of summer, we're calling it Summer Sunsets Taking in the View. And we really are taking in the view of a whole bunch of different places in the Bible, both New and Old Testament, asking God to give us His view on the really different areas of our life, specific areas of our life. And in preparation for that this morning, I want to ask you a question. Here's what it is. How many of you like friends? Raise your hand. That's good. I don't mean do you like your friends. I'm not asking you that question this morning. That's kind of personal. But how many of you like having friends? Let's see the hands again. All right. I'm glad to know you all like having friends because today we're going to read a passage about someone who tries to buy some friends. I'm serious. It's in the Bible. Jesus talks about it. It's probably one of the most misunderstood parables that Jesus ever told. And He's giving us a powerful new perspective on life with Him, a new view from which to look at life, a new lens from which to look at life through, because it is really easy in this crazy world to lose perspective and not have God's view of things. And He wants us to view life in light of who He is. You can think of it this way. I have twin daughters. They're almost 23. Katie and Jessica, they're fraternal twins, all right? So for the uninitiated to twindom, fraternal means they're not identical. And yet many people think and always have thought that they look very similar. They have a hard time telling them apart. We can tell them apart, but a lot of people have trouble. But I remember when Katie, our oldest by a minute, was getting glasses, and we were sitting around the kitchen table, and we were telling her how great she looked with her new glasses on, and she thought to herself, well, I want to know what I look like. So she took her glasses off, reached across the table to her twin sister Jessica, and said, hey, Jess, put these on so I can see what I look like. And I thought, well, that's a pretty creative way to get a different view on yourself. And today in Luke 16, God wants us to see ourselves in a new light, in His light, specifically in a way that really impacts our friendships, our relationships for eternity. And to get this message from Christ today in Luke 16, you're going to need to keep an eye out for some really important words. In fact, there's three key words in this parable, this powerful story from Jesus. And it's easy because they all start with M. And I want to give them to you up front so you're keeping an eye out for them as we go through this parable. Here are the three words: management, manager, and master. All right, so look for these words as we go through this passage: management, manager, and master. So we're going to read this parable. It's found in Luke chapter 16. We're starting in verse 1. I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we're going to pray this morning together as a church family. It's great to be with you this morning. I got to meet some of you for the very first time, and some of you, I learned your name for the very first time, but it's just good to be together as a church family. I see the Joe and Lori Pent from Costa Rica, two of our global partners over here, and we just have a great whole day planned. We've got some more global partners to share a little bit, but good to be with you. Let me read the passage. Luke 16, verse 1. He also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and he said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. And I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. It's bargain day. And then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. And then the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings.'" Would you pray with me? Father God, before I just ask you to lead us through your word this morning, we, as your people, want to just lift up our world. We pray for wisdom for the leaders of our nation and with the many things going on in the Middle East right now. We always, Lord, pray for the protection of our military around the world. Father, ultimately, we pray for peace in the Middle East. And we pray for your gospel to go forth in the midst of the craziness of this world. Lord, I thank you for your family here today. Lord, I pray for some maybe who are here for the first or second time. May they just sense that they are family already, Lord. Would only you speak that to their heart? And Lord, we look to you right now and ask you to speak through your living word. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So verse 1 begins, "He also said to the disciples," and Jesus is launching into what we call parable, this powerful story that he is telling that has a powerful message in it. He says, "He said also to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions." And so you have this person of wealth, and they have so much wealth, they have someone who is managing all of their financial affairs so they can go and play golf in the desert, ride their Ferrari chariot, and, you know, boat in their super yacht in the Sea of Galilee, amongst other things. And he hears that this person who's been handling his financial affairs and possessions is doing a really bad job at it. In fact, what he hears is that he's actually wasting his master's resources. And we read in verse 2, "And he called him and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.'" And so the owner says, the word on the street is, you're not doing very well with my stuff. In fact, not only are you giving me a bad reputation, but I'm needing to make some decisions. And this financial manager is going to hear some words that no financial planner ever wants to hear from their client. You are fired right there. He says, you're done. You're going to be finished managing all of my stuff. And this is implied in the story. And basically, he says, I want you to finish up everything I've given you authority over because you're done. You're no longer going to be managing my stuff. Kaput, kapui, no more. But I'm going to give you just a little bit more time. And everything that you're in the works with, in the middle of, I want you to wrap up. And it says in verse 3, "And the manager said to himself," and what's the question he asked? It's there on the screen. What does he say? "What shall I do?" And I want us to remember that question because it's key to the message that Christ is inviting us to through this powerful story. He says, "What shall I do since my master's taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." This money manager, this steward realizes, I've got a little bit of time and a little bit of opportunity and a little bit of resources, and I need to leverage my time, opportunity, and resources to secure something for my future. And not only that, I don't want to beg and I don't want to dig ditches because I'm not very strong, and I want to have somewhere to go, somewhere to live, and so I better have some friends who might be willing to take me in. And so the question he's asking himself is, how do I use my little bit of time, my little bit of opportunity, and my little bit of resources and leverage them in such a way as to secure my future? And it's an important question, and he comes up with a plan. Verse 5, so summoning his master's debtors one by one, so everybody who owed his master something, he said to the first, and this is awesome what he begins to do, he says to the first person, how much do you owe my master? Because he still has a little bit of authority, he's got a little bit of time, a little bit of resources. And so he says, how much do you owe my master? Because I still have some authority. And we read in verse 6, and he said, 100 measures of oil, he said to him. And this money manager's like, 100 measures of oil? Are you kidding me? That is a lot of olive oil that you owe my master. Do you know that a gallon of olive oil today goes for $35 a gallon? It's far more valuable than gas, by the way. And he's like, man, that's going to take you a long time to pay back. And so he says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your bill and sit down quickly. And why does he want him to sit down quickly? Because he only has a little bit of time left. He said, I want you to sit down quickly and write 50. And the person who owed this debt, he's like, 50? Did you say 50? Because I owe 100. And the guy's like, yeah, I bet if we cut it in half today, you could pay your debt today. And how would that work for you? And this guy's like, oh, that would be incredible. And so the money manager's like, okay, well, I've got a little bit of authority still. And so let's write out the bill. You sign it, you pay it, and we're done. And so they do this transaction. And as this person who owed this debt of 100 measures of oil is leaving, he turns back to the money manager and goes, hey, I just want to say thank you. This was like an amazing day. I wasn't expecting this. And by the way, if you ever need anything, I am your friend. I am here for you. And the money manager's like, oh, that is so kind of you. You know, and you know, I may actually take you up on that sometime, maybe even sooner than you think. But thank you so much. Verse 7. And then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So apparently there's a lot of people who owe his master a lot of things. He says, 100 measures of wheat. And the money manager's like, 100 measures of wheat? That is a lot of wheat. Have you ever thought of going keto? I mean, it might help, or maybe low carb or intermittent fasting or something, because that's going to take a long time to have to repay my master. And so he says to him, hey, I've got an idea that I think you're going to like. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And the guy's like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, no, write 80. And I bet if we reduced it to 80, since my master's given me a little bit of authority here, that you could pay it right now. How does that sound? He goes, oh man, that sounds great. And so they write up the bill, he signs it, he pays it, the deal is done. And as this guy is walking away, he turns to the money manager, he's like, hey, I just want to say thank you. I mean, that was amazing. I didn't expect that at all today. And if you ever need anything, I just want you to know, I am here for you. And the money manager's like, oh man, that is so nice of you. I can't believe you said that. I may actually take you up on that sometime, maybe sooner than you think. And he goes through all these people that owe his master anything. And let's just say it is bargain day.
It is Let's Make a Deal Day. It is Prime Day. And he is dropping a new deal every 5 minutes online. He's like, do I hear 80, 80? Anybody going 80? Let's go 50, 50. We can do 50 right now because he's got a little bit of time and a little bit of opportunity and a little bit of resources to work with. Everything that his master has given him authority over, and he's leveraging it for his own good. And now Jesus, as he's telling this story, everybody listening is thinking what we're listening today. They're like, man, the word on the street was this money manager wasn't a really good guy. And it's obviously true. He's like losing all of these resources for his master. He's a really bad person. And whenever Jesus would tell a parable, people kind of knew how this worked. Like, someone in the story is us, and someone in the story is God. And so everybody's going, well, who's who? And Encounter Family, you know, often when Jesus would tell a parable, he'd do so to a large crowd of people. And within that crowd were some committed followers, some skeptics, some tire kickers checking out the faith, some antagonists. But who did verse 1 say that Jesus was telling this story for? Does anybody remember? The disciples. Not the crowd. The committed followers. For you and for me. And they'd all be thinking that when the master finds out what his money manager is doing, he's going to be really mad. He's probably going to put this guy in jail. And yet Jesus responds and he surprises us, just as Christ always surprises us, because Jesus actually wants to lead us to life and to joy and to what counts right now and even into eternity. And so we read in verse 8, and the master, get this, commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And Jesus is like, hey, guess what happened? And everybody's on the edge of their seats as Jesus is talking. He says, when this master finds out what his money manager has done, he calls the man. And his money manager is thinking, oh man, I am in trouble. My little bit of time just got shorter and my little bit of opportunity just evaporated and my little bit of resources are getting ripped away from me. And the money manager, he chuckles though, and the master chuckles and he puts his hand on the money manager's shoulder and he looks him in the eyes and he goes, you are one shrewd person. And the money manager's like, you're not mad? And his master's like, well, I am mad, but I'm also kind of not mad because look at what you did. And it's one of those moments like when you're a parent and your child does something wrong and they're in trouble, but it's really funny at the same time. You know, you're trying not to laugh, but you're scolding them at the same time. And he's like, look at what you did. You realized that you had a little bit of time, a little bit of opportunity, and a little bit of resources, and you didn't want to beg and you didn't want to dig ditches because let's face it, you got more of a white collar build going on for you over here. I mean, you're not going to be getting any Dwayne the Rock Johnson awards anytime soon, and no one's going to get you mixed up for Chris Hemsworth and ask you to play Thor in some superhero movie or anything like that. By the way, you may not know this, but people come up to your pastor sometimes and they say, hey, Pastor John, we think you look a whole lot more like Chris Hemsworth than you do Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Can you believe that? And I always think to myself, well, I was thinking Dwayne the Rock with the hairdo and everything. No, that's actually never happened. But I'm dreaming, all right? I'm dreaming. One of these days, one of you can fulfill my dream here. But he's like, hey, but that was pretty shrewd. And he praised the dishonest money manager, which kind of bothers me. I don't know, does it bother you? And everybody listening is confused. They're like, well, in the story, which one is me? Which one is God? What's the point of the story? Am I supposed to be dishonest? That sounds a little confusing coming from Jesus. And fortunately, Jesus actually explains his parable. He doesn't always do this, but in the middle of verse 8, he actually begins to explain the message of the story. He says, for the sons of this world, follow this, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of the light, of light. And this is huge. Jesus is talking to these basically religious people who believe in eternity for the most part, believe in heaven for the most part, believe that this world is not all there is. And he says, do you realize that the people of the world who don't believe in heaven and don't believe in a living heavenly father or don't believe in a Messiah, the ones who think that this world is all there is and, you know, what you see is what you get, is that they are more shrewd than you, the people of the light of God, the ones who believe in the Lord, because they know how to take a little bit of their time, a little bit of their opportunity, a little bit of their resources, and leverage it to secure something for their short-term future. And he says, those of you who believe in eternity, those of you who believe in a loving heavenly father that you're going to be with forever by the grace of God, you actually need to take a lesson from the dishonest money manager's playbook, who had a little bit of time and opportunity and secured for himself something in the future. And Jesus goes on and explains, and this is powerful, by the way. He gives us a new lens, a new view to look at everything that we have been blessed with this side of heaven, our time and opportunities and our resources. And this new lens, it's in some ways way more powerful than this, but in some ways it's like a lens like AI has been doing to our culture for this last decade, really. Do you realize this? That how people are conversing with information in a way they never have before. And AI, whether you see the pluses of it or the many pitfalls of it, people are coming to it to find out how to plan a vacation and how to write a cover letter. And I read some statistics recently that I wanted to share with you. Did you know that 48% of adults who use AI, so adults in the United States who use AI, do so partly for seeking emotional support in difficult times? That AI is their counselor. AI is their life wisdom seeker. And get this, that's 48% of the people who use AI. 50% of all adults in the United States are using AI on some form. That is an informing statistic. And what it tells me as a Jesus follower and as a parent is I need to be way, way, way more intentional relationally. Can I hear an amen? In fact, parents, I always tell you this. This is a freebie today. Date your children. Date them. Male, female. Spend time as a family, of course. Start there. But individually spend time with your kids and pour into them. It will change at each age. But date your children. And, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, if culture is asking AI for the benefits of life, I thought, well, I'm going to ask the AI, I'm going to ask Chat this week, ChatGPT, what are the benefits of being a pastor? And this is what Chat told me this week. Being a pastor is both a calling and a responsibility. And while it can be challenging, it carries profound and deeply meaningful benefits, spiritual, relational, and eternal. Okay, we're online here. And then it kept going. Chat also offered, well, you get paid to talk, pray and drink coffee and quote Bible verses. Basically everything your mom told you not to do at the dinner table. Now, I read that and I thought, you have not met my mom. I'm telling you right now, you have not met my mom. And by the way, even Chat is picking on the pastor's coffee time. Everybody picks on the pastor's coffee time with people. And how dare you talk about my mom that way? But this is the point this morning. Jesus, in a much more profound way, in a much more life-giving way than AI is doing right now, gives us a new lens from which to view everything that we have been blessed with, a life-giving lens. And Jesus says in verse 9, I tell you, and he gives a command to leverage everything we have, everything we've been blessed with for eternal impact. And this is how he says it. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth. Now, unrighteous wealth, simply Bible translation means temporary. Some translations say worldly wealth. This is, you know, it's only going to be here for a while, this side of heaven. Temporary worldly wealth. It's not bad, it's simply temporary. And so the time and a little bit of opportunity we have, a little bit of resources that we've been blessed with are temporary this side of heaven. And Jesus says, leverage your temporary resources for a greater purpose. And he continues, so that when it fails, what is it? So that when it fails, because it's going to fail, it's going to come to an end, it is temporary stuff. You know, the things that are just here for a little while, they're not going to last. You know, the things in this life, they're going to either be destroyed, burn up, or disappear someday. So that when it fails, look at this, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. And right here, we are given a glimpse of heaven. We are given a snapshot of the greatest reunion that we are going to experience someday. That when we get to heaven and after we've been welcomed into the loving arms of Christ and we're all worshiping the Savior together, we're also going to be welcomed by a whole bunch of people who are praising God because of the way that others used their little bit of time and opportunity and resources for God's glory and impact. And don't hear me wrong. Please don't hear me wrong this morning. We are not earning our way to heaven. We're not earning our salvation. Our relationship with God is based on his free gift alone, based on what he did on the cross. We could never earn anything as part of our salvation, but we simply believe and what Christ has done, and we receive his free gift of grace. But once we receive that free gift of grace, oh man, we begin to live in the love of that grace and that relationship. It begins to change everything of how we see and the lens through which we see our time and opportunities and resources. And so Jesus says the world gets it on a temporary level, how to invest for the future with rewards that won't last. And Jesus says, I'm inviting to look through a different lens as people of the light and invest in a future that will last forever. Where you view your little bit of time, whatever it is, your little bit of opportunity as a neighbor, a family member, a friend, a coworker, your little bit of resources as tools for God's glory, where we build into lives for eternity. And part of the point of the parable is don't waste it like the money manager was doing. And I really love the fact that Jesus is reminding us to use our temporary stuff to invest in relationships for eternity. Because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get pulled into and paralyzed into inaction and to feel like, oh, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough opportunity. I don't have enough resources. And Jesus uses this word shrewd to describe this person who was wasting his master's resources, God's resources that he'd been entrusted with, but he turns his life in a different direction. And the Bible, we think of that word negatively. The Bible's using the word positively, saying use your temporary stuff, your little bit of time, your little bit of resources, your little bit of opportunity to live a life that counts for the glory of God. And you're going to have a little bit of time, Encounter Family, this week. A little bit. I don't know what God's going to give you. He's going to give you some. You're going to have a little bit of opportunity as friends and coworkers and parents and neighbors and church family. You have a little bit of resources. And God is reminding us to take a little bit of it and to use it, our gifts, and to serve him and to love people with it and to proclaim the light of Christ and to love the people that God puts in our path. And one of the amazing things I know about our church family, and there's so many amazing things, but there is one I think about all the time, and it's how many of you are using your life and your talents and your different opportunities to serve in the many different ministry teams of our church. And I was thinking about this week. In fact, I wanted to do something this morning. If you have ever served in any capacity on like ushers, greeters, any ministry of our church, sound or tech or worship or Treasured Harvest or a small group leader, and children's ministry, students' ministry, global outreach, anything. I can't list them all. I'm just going to ask you to stand right now. Just stand right where you are. Go ahead, stand. Any amount of time, any part in your life. Can we just give the Lord a hand this morning for all these servants? All right. Amen. Please be seated. Now you might be sitting there thinking, I've been serving for a while, but I kind of want to try something new. Or maybe you're sitting there today and you're brand new to our church family, and maybe you want to join one of our ministry teams. One of the things we love to do is to equip you for a life of ministry. And in the seat back pockets in front of you, there's this little card. It says Encounter 11 or E11. And if you take that, it lists all these different ministries. You can fill that out, and it doesn't sign you up for them, but it gets you in contact with somebody who will let you know more information of how you could be a part of that ministry together as a church family. In any way that you want to be as a kid. And even as we think about it right now, as you came in here today, you might have been greeted by somebody. And the reason they greeted you was because they said, I'm going to take a little bit of time, use a little bit of my smile and a little bit of my voice, and I'm going to greet people from the street into the feet of Christ in worship as a part of our Encounter greeting team. And in any given week here in our church family, there are ministry teams on this campus and around our community, even around the world, as we're reminded today of how God is using his people. And even as we speak right now, there are people with across this campus in different ministry teams, people with our Encounter Kids ministry that are really just loving on students, kids, and just making little friends for eternity, telling them how much Jesus loves them. Tell them, what it means to know Christ and how they can grow in him so that some of the parents can be in here and just growing in the Lord. And in fact, it was shared earlier that a week from now, some 85 adults, I know the number keeps growing, 65 students, and around 300 children are going to do vacation Bible school for a week. Man, we praise God for that. That's amazing. That's just an amazing team in action, and we just be praying about what God's going to do. And not to mention that this week we have 70 students going to Camp Pondo, and I thank God for the leaders who are investing for eternity, and it's a long-haul investment in the lives of students in our church family. I got the funnest call a while back. This man calls me, didn't recognize his voice, didn't recognize his name. And apparently, this all started coming together for me as he was talking to me. Apparently, when I was in college, I was a volunteer youth leader at a local church for a little while. And this man, at the time, was one of my students. He was in my small group. He was only with me for a year and a half. And during that time, he came to know Jesus. During that time, he led his sister to the Lord. And his family was going through all kinds of chaos at the time. And he went off to college. We lost touch. He continued to grow in Christ. He met this great godly woman, and they're raising their family together in the Lord. And all these years later, he called me. He says, John, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for investing in my life when I was in high school. And I just knew that you probably didn't know what had happened since that time. And to be honest, I didn't remember his name. I didn't remember who he was until we started talking. And then I started remembering how I used to pick him up in my beat-up old Toyota Celica that barely ran during college, and about how he started telling stories about when we were in that cabin together and all those ungodly sounds happened during the night at camp. And you just never know what's going to happen at camp. And on a much greater scale, somehow, in God's economy, when we are praising Jesus and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we are going to be invited into one another's heavenly dwellings. And we're going to share to one another, you don't remember me, but I was that baby that spit up on your shoulder while my parents were in big church learning what it means to follow Jesus. And you don't know this, but they led me to the Lord. And you see those three dwellings down there? That's the trail of God's impact. Or you don't know me, but you prayed for me. I was in Indonesia, and you were praying for a gospel movement to take root through a global partner. And God used your prayers to move in the lives of people. You don't know me, or you don't remember my name, but you gave to your church. You never saw my face. You never knew my name. But I came to Christ through one of your ministries. And then I began to grow in the Lord. And God has been working in my life. And we're going to meet person after person. And we're going to be sharing in our heavenly dwellings together, praising God for how people invested in eternity, not in a way to earn our salvation, but in a way of the joy of getting to use a little bit of our time and a little bit of our opportunity and a little bit of our resources for the kingdom of God. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the freest people on the face of the planet are those who are using their life for Jesus Christ. They are the freest people, the most joyful people on the face of the planet who have figured out that what life really counts about life, and they're using their stuff for the Lord. And I guarantee you, if you look at your own life, if you're a follower of Christ, you look back at your own journey of how you came to Christ and how you began to grow in your faith, there is a trail of people who said, I'm going to use a little bit of my time, a little bit of my opportunity that I have this week as a coach, a teacher, an engineer, a coworker, a student. I'm going to use a little bit of my resources, my finances, and my possessions as a tool for the glory of God. I want to skip down to verse 13. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed Jesus. And why are the Pharisees making fun of Jesus as he tells this story? Well, I'll tell you why. They're uncomfortable because they love their stuff. And I kind of wonder if when we read a parable like this, if there's not a little bit of uncomfortableness as we think about our time and opportunities and resources, that maybe there's this piece of our life where we're still looking through the old lens that God wants to capture. He says, I got a brand new lens for you that leads you to life and that leads to the glory of God. And I think God wants us to ask the same question that the money manager asked at the beginning. What shall I do? Let's pray. Before I pray, if you feel led and if you feel open to the Lord to do this, just say, Lord, as I look at my little bit of time, whatever it is, and my little bit of opportunities and the places you've put me in life, the roles you've put me in, and my little bit of resources, whatever it is, Lord, how might I use a little bit of that in a greater way for your glory, as I'm enjoying it with you and living in the joy of using my life for you. Just lay that before the Lord and commit that whatever he tugs your heart on, whether it's serving or generosity or investment in someone's life, just commit to follow his lead, knowing that it leads to life. And it leads to his glory as you live in freedom. Jesus, thank you for the gift of your grace that invites us to live the freest lives possible on this earth to your glory. We thank you for our time. We thank you for the opportunities you've placed in our life. And we thank you for our resources. And we entrust them to you today. Amen.